Praise the Lord. Amen. I think about that kind of stuff. I am glad to be here with you all tonight. If you get your Bibles, turn them to 2 Samuel chapter 18. I'm going to look at two fellows tonight. We're going to study Ahimaaz and Cushai. Have you all had in-depth studies on that one yet? I mean, say, yeah, well, I'll have to give you a little bit of mine on there, okay? 2 Samuel 18, we're going to start here at verse 19. 2 Samuel 18, 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But however, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent thy king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside, stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, I thank you for the word of God. We thank you for Lord, its pureness. Lord, we thank you for its truth in these pages. And Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit of God might take your words, Lord, and bless them to our hearts. God, give us understanding. We sure need you to open our eyes. And Lord, give us something here from this word that might help us, God, strengthen us to bring pleasure to you and honor to you. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, now so find in this chapter here that Absalom dies and he gets defeated in battle. And old Joab kills him, right? And he kills him there, and he's left hanging by his hair in that oak tree. Now, that's kind of a strange thing, and it's one of the strange things in the Word of God when you think about that thing. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that just seem kind of strange. They don't seem, you know, especially before you get saved, you can't grasp some of them things on there, right? But I want to say this, when you come to know the Lord, and the more you get in there and reading the Word of God and you're studying, you pray and fellowship with the Lord, many of those strange things, they kind of open up to you, right? And you can get more understanding of what's going on. And it's kind of fairly simple as you get in there. It's one of the simple things, I think. After you get saved, you know, you realize there's a lot of things involved in your relationship with the Lord. And I'm going to say our relationship with the Lord as a child of God is multi-layered. What do you mean? I'd say, well, first, you know what? He is your God, right? He is our God. And then at the same time, he is our Father, right? I mean, you got, you know, these layers coming on things in the Word of God. And since, you know, if you ever thought, since that Jesus is the Son of God And you're a son of God if you're saved. You know what? He's also your brother. Right? So you're getting into some things in there, right? And I know, you know this, that Jesus Christ, he's the bridegroom. And if you're saved, you know what you are? You're the lovely bride, right? Even you men, right? Some of you guys, I don't know. They say lovely, but you are the bride. Are you getting some, that's kind of strange, right? That gets in there, right? But you know, you're also soldiers for Christ, right? So I'm talking about, there's some, a lot of things going on in here with us and the Lord. You're soldiers for Christ. And if you, we add on to that, you're also, and I'm also to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He calls us, ambassadors, right? We're to bear the good news. We're to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for him. We're to tell folks, be ye reconciled to God, right? You can come to God through Jesus Christ, all right? So getting all that tied in there, and I look at some things here. I look at these two messengers tonight, Ahimaaz and Cushai, right? I'm going to say what each saved person is a messenger, right? You are an ambassador. You are a messenger for Jesus Christ. And here in 2 Samuel, you have Ahimaaz. He is Zadok the priest's son, right? And then you got Cushai. And I don't know much about his lineage. It's not much, not anything said in the passage there. But both of these fellows carry a message to David the king. And of course, as we read here toward the end of that chapter, you find, boy, this is a heart-rending day for David, isn't it? This is a sad day for him. A lot of things just coming to pass on him, you know, about this time. And this is, a crossroads, in his life, a terrible day. And these two messengers each show up with a different message, okay? And so, first of all, I want to talk about Ahimaaz. He's mentioned first in the text here. And you look at him, and I'm going to say, I just want to start, and say this. I believe Ahimaaz was probably motivated here, on this wanting to run to bring the king's message by his personal concern for David. And I look through these scriptures here, I find he's a personal friend, right? He's connected with the king. He's interested in David. If you look back at 2 Samuel 15, notice something there in 2 Samuel 15. Look at verse 27. And 15:27, notice what he says here. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, Art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. All right? So when you got all this going on here, and all this stuff starts to bring to a boil here, coming here, David decides to leave the throne. He's going to, get out of town when, Absalom's coming in, right? He wants to get out, he didn't want getting killed and all that kind of stuff. So he leaves. Zadok comes, brings the ark. He's going to leave with him, right? And David says, no. He says, no, I don't want you to bring the ark. He said, I want you to go on back there. And if the Lord finds delight in me, he'll bring me back and I'll be able to see it, right? And I'll be able to come back there. He said, and then he tells him, So send Zadok back with him, right? He tells Zadok, send one of your sons there, send me Ahimaaz and give me word, all right? So you see through that, you got some things here going on with Ahimaaz. He's a friend of David, all right? And he has a personal interest in him. And I kind of rejoice in that. You think on those things, he's on David's side. You get in the story there and you're kind of, you're back and I'm for the good guy, right? For that right there. He wanted David to succeed. I believe he wanted him to help him, right? And he wanted to bear the news to David. I believe that's part of what's going on here. But to get down to the thing here, you got to know that folks, love and personal interest do not mean that you have the truth. Now, I believe this. I believe your mothers and your fathers probably loved you when you were growing up as a child, right? I believe that they did that, but that doesn't mean that they told you the truth about the Bible. Some of your parents may not have been saved. Some of your parents may not have known the truth. They may have been off in some kind of cult or something like that. They may not have told you what the truth is. So love is a great thing. Man, having a personal interest in someone is an important thing to have, but you know what? It sure is best when you have the truth in that thing, okay? Now, we're getting this, connecting this with this messenger and what he is going to bring, right? Here's Ahimaaz. He shows up before David as if he's got some important news, but, we find out he really doesn't. He doesn't have it, right? Chapter 18, verse 29, he gets down there and he says, well, I knew not. what's going on? He said, I didn't know what all the commotion was and stuff like that. So first of all, then I want to say all that motivated him was most likely a personal love for David and an interest for him. But you know what? You got to know that is not enough to make that message the truth. Okay? Just love and personal interest is not going to make it, all right? At least not the whole truth. Now, look at verse 19. Verse 19, 18, 19 again. Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. You know what he said there? Let me now run and bear the king tidings. All right, so I'll give you that, you know, this fellow here, he was eager. He must have had a lot of vigor, right? He's ready to go. Folks, he sure was talented enough, right? He had the talent as far as being a runner. Verse 22 and 23, he overran Cushai. Boy, he passed that guy up. And he was the first one to the king. And I'll tell you, you know, all that enthusiasm and all that zeal and all that goodwill, folks, that is not all that is needed. It's not all that's needed as far as being a messenger, okay? You can sure check out all the slick fellas and all the slick preachers on the internet today and on TV today. And folks, I mean, they may have the enthusiasm. Okay, they may have be talented. You may have some good speakers and all that kind of stuff. But most of the time, you know what? They really got nothing to say. Right. It comes down to it. You know, they'll tell you that they love the people, right? And they're interested in them and stuff. But that doesn't mean, folks, that they have anything significant to say on that stuff, right? That's, I think, in part here, Ahimaaz, okay? Notice something else. Look at verse 28. Notice this first thing he said when he comes before the king. Notice he says, all is well. Okay, well, I have to, I guess, kind of get on this. I mean, what a positive message, right? He is positive. You're going to find these guys, most of them on TV and stuff like that. I tell you, you know, the modern day pastors and things like that, man, they want to have the positive message all the time. It was positive, but it was ineffective. If you look at what he said, it did not carry the news that David needed to hear. It's positive, right? Oh, you know, everything's going to work out. You know, Jesus loves you. All is well. Okay. Well, folks, how does that come down to where the rubber meets the road? When you're preaching the gospel and telling folks, you know, 28, he says, blessed be the Lord, which hath delivered up the men. Now, folks, that is not the news David needed, or that's not the news that he even wanted. It's good. It's positive. Right. The uprising got put down. OK, on that. But what about Absalom? Well, I can't tell you anything about it, King. Can't tell you. I can't give you that news right there. I mean, what he said was true enough, but it did not give David what he needed, all right? It kind of left the king, I guess, ignorant of what he needed to know. And boy, I'll tell you, folks, that's exactly what's going on today. And in the ministries, in the churches today, the modern average day churches, Christian churches, so-called Baptist churches, they just leave their folks ignorant of the truth and getting a message on some things, okay? You find a lot of messengers doing that today. So this thing here, I want to say, you need something that comes right down and meets you where you are, don't you? Right? And especially if you're a lost sinner, you need him to come right down and tell you the truth of the matter. OK, that's no news here. OK, some things got passed on. So you got a positive message. Right. But it doesn't bear any power in this thing here. Right. And I'm going to say this. The point is we need to get in the Bible. Right. We need to get in the Bible's message to be able to tell someone the truth, who wants it, right? What does the Bible have to say about it? And you get right down to it. Not just positive stuff, not just stuff that you think that's going to make them feel better, you know, on their feelings and stuff like that. This thing also, I don't know if when you notice this thing, it may have raised David's hopes falsely, right? I mean, you can try to wish someone, folks, to heaven. You want to try to, you know, wish them the best and hope that that thing will happen, but that's not going to do it. Look at verse 27. Again here, notice 27. The watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. Well, folks, you know what? That's a false message. He didn't get that message, right? There was nothing to say to David to help him in that thing. I may just raise his hopes up and then just going to let him down. And folks, that's something that goes on today again with religions, right? They'll tell people, well, you could do this, you do that, and after you do this, you might be able to get to heaven. They're going to let you down, all right? You're going to find out that stuff's going to let them down real quick. He didn't have the good news that David needed to hear. Now, you see this thing here. Verse 29, you know what David asked? What he's asking about is Absalom safe? Is my son Absalom safe? Well, his answer was, well, I knew not. I don't know what's going on, all right? Now look back here at verse 17. I'll show you something else here. And this, I kind of think on this guy here, something's a little, not right, okay, here. 18:17, they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now, notice it says there, all Israel fled to their tent. Well, why? Well, they knew, folks, something had happened there. They knew that Absalom got taken care of, all right? And so here, when you think of Ahimaaz and what he said, he's either really ignorant. Maybe he was hiding somewhere or going somewhere around there and didn't see that thing, what's going on. And if it was, he shouldn't have been running, trying to take a message there. Or, folks, he's lying. He's lying. Now, I kind of lean on that thing because I know, have you ever known anybody to lie, maybe to a friend or someone they care about because they didn't want to hurt them? They didn't want to hurt their feelings, so they just lied about it. They didn't tell them the thing. Maybe just, folks, I'll give you this. Maybe he was just a coward on this thing. When he comes before David, now, folks, I believe he knew full well that Absalom was dead. But when David gets him there and pins him down on, you know, how's my son? How is Absalom? Maybe he just can't bring himself up and tell him the truth, right? He just can't do that thing, all right? Well, all right. That's not the kind of messenger you need, right? You don't want a messenger, you know, bringing you something like that, not telling you the truth. Just this message is positive, but it's ineffectual, all right? It did David no good. Then look down here at verse 22. All right, notice something else here about this thing. 22. And then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab. However, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Right, you know what? Something, Joab was right. Joab hit that thing right on the thing. His message was purposeless when he got over to the king. He outran Cushai, right? And I mean, boy, he's a fast runner. Man, he could put it on, right? He had some zeal. He had some enthusiasm in there. But the message he had was of no purpose, no help, okay, for David at all. Now, again, I'm trying to bring this thing down and at the close here as far as connecting it to messengers and what we are for Christ and as far as how we deliver a message and what we have, okay? So let's look at the second messenger. Let's look at Mr. Cushai, all right? Look at verse 31. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. Okay. So what we see here, this is Cushai's message, folks. It was the right message. It's a hard message, all right, but this thing here is the right message. And this was not the message that reached the king first, though, right? And so we say, well, what about that? Well, you know what you run into nowadays, folks? You run into people all over the place that have been gotten false messages before they ever get the truth, right? You got the Mormons, you got the JWs, you got the Catholics, you got the cults, you got all them folks, you know, spreading their false gospels out and stuff before folks ever get the right message, all right? And that's what we face now. right? We faced that. Folks have faced that many, many years. And as you try to minister to people, you know you're going to run into that thing that people have just got a whole lot of bad counsel before you ever even run into them or try to give them the counsel. That's what we're facing on that kind of stuff, right? I mean, so the bottom line is, I say that I guess this is just something you got to deal with. You understand that they have a bunch of lies been told them and they're a bunch of false things, and they had weed through that kind of stuff and get to them, okay, to get the truth to them, right? And along these lines there, look at verse 21. Notice something else here. This comes right around here. Then said Joab to Cushai, go, tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and round. I like this thing here. Unlike Ahimaaz. All right, so here's some differences between these messengers. Unlike Mr. Ahimaaz, Cushai's message, folks, was delivered with an order, right? It had a majestic order behind that message right there, verse 21, and he ran, see? He delivered the message, folks, with the orders. He had the orders given there. Ahimaaz, he wasn't ordered to say anything, okay? He was not authorized to say anything on that thing. He said, I guess you can get down what he wanted to, and told the king what he thought maybe would make the king happy, but it was not the right stuff, right? When it came to that critical point, folks, he didn't give the king what he needed to hear. Like I said, he either lied or he was ignorant or he was just a coward and just refused to tell him the truth. But Cushai, you know, and you look at that, what Cushai had, he didn't have the luxury I'm just telling him what he wanted to, because he was under some orders, right? He was under the KJV, right? I say, I'm going to stretch this thing. That's King Joab version. All right. Joab he's in charge. All right. And Joab gives him the orders, and I'm telling you what to give here, right? Tell the king what you've seen. You know, boy, folks, I tell you, that's the kind of orders we've got, right? God gives us from this King James Bible right here. And he's telling, you know what? You need to tell us what you've seen, what you've witnessed, what you know of this thing here. And when the king asked him, you know, of Absalom, you know what? He said, your majesty, he is as the rest of your enemies. You know, he's dead. And so this thing here, folks, I believe, you know, he knew. I think he got a messenger here. He knew Joab. And I believe he knew if Joab found out, you know, Joab, boy, he was a killer. if he's thinking, you know, if I don't give that message and I don't tell it just like he said, man, Joab's going to find out. And you know what? I've had it. I'm going to give an account and I'm going to be in trouble, right? On that thing, you know? Now listen, if you want to be a Cushai, something like a Cushai right there, you have no room, and I have no room to cut the message. See, I can't just take out what I want. I can't just tell what, you know, I think is that kind of thing. You got to tell what they need to hear and what God gives you to tell them. Right. It's in that book right there. Tell it all, folks. You say, why? Because we're going to give an account. Right. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. One day we will stand before him and give an account on those things. And I tell you this, it's the message that's important. Right. We're not that important. Right. We're all sinners. We all fail. We all mess up sometimes and stuff. But the message that you give, see, the Lord blesses the word. That word's alive. And that's what he wants you to make sure you get that message and get it. So that's Cushai. He gave that thing right there and he put that message out. Now, I want to say when you're given the message here, you notice this thing. Cushai, I believe he was diplomatic about the thing, but he was direct. Okay, he didn't just come out to the king and say, king, that boy of yours, he's dead as a doorknob, right? That's not how he put the thing. Okay, your son is like the rest of your enemies, you know. And you know what? From that, the king, you know what he drew, that you know what the truth was, right? His son was dead. And he got that thing. So I believe this. There are some preachers, and they get so full of zeal and sometimes not so much on knowledge. You know what they think? I think they honestly just try to purposely try to offend someone. And how that How can I outdo this last preacher? You know, if you've ever been out in the street preaching and stuff, sometimes you get these preachers out there and they try to impress folks, and they're just going to outdo the last one, and they're really going to just, I'll tell you folks, just over run over the line, I think, on some things, right? Our purpose going out there is not just to try to hurt people, see, and see how, you know, lift us up on that thing, all right, and try to offend people and outdo them. Listen, I'm going to say this. The Word of God and that truth is offensive enough as it is without you trying to put something in it, right? It cuts to the heart, folks. You get down on this thing right there. You don't need to add something in there to make it more bitter, you know, or hateful or anything like that. I think a lot of people do that. Their preachers get into that. But Cushai shows up, folks, and he's diplomatic about this thing. Can I say that? He managed to get the message across, so David's wouldn't be mistaken about that. Can I tell you this? It's no sin to declare the truth with diplomacy. Right? It's not. It's no sin, folks, to give the truth with compassion. Right? You get on, you know, this side of Bible believers, and many times that's what, you know, it's just, you're a soldier, you take that sword and you try to cut everybody's head off with it, right? And that ain't the way, amen. You don't have to chop people's head off to give them the gospel. All right, so I know some are over the line, but I believe this thing here shows us Cushai, he gave the right message in the right way, all right? Now, look here at verse 33. Honestly, see what happens when he gives this message, right? Here's the king, all right? And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Now, boy, you see this message here, it was pretty traumatic for the king, wasn't it? I'll tell you what, pretty heavy tidings there. And folks, he did ask. You know, he asked, how's my son? What, you know, what about him and stuff like that? But you know, the answer you got to give folks sometimes, and you give that truth right there, it is still hard to take sometimes, right? You ever think about that? I mean, this was probably the last thing he wanted to hear. He probably held out and tried to, you know, hope that it didn't come to this right here. But I think this thing here, maybe if we think, if you think about having compassion next time, either when you go out on the street or you're witnessing to your neighbor, or maybe it's a family member or something like that going door to door, when you try to lay the gospel out, you can see something like in this. Sometimes the message here, it can be pretty heavy at times, okay? I don't know if you ever thought about this. Sometimes you witness some folks and you tell them the only way to get to heaven, or you're going to get to heaven, is by trusting Jesus Christ, and that's it. And if you don't, then you're going to end up in hell. Now, some folks, you don't know anything about their families or anything about their loved ones. That may just nail some things down. Maybe they had a lost husband or a lost daughter or a lost somebody that died. And that's just telling them, hey, you know what? Your loved one's in hell burning right now. So that sometimes is a heavy message, folks. I mean, that's, you know, on something like that. And I say sometimes, you know, it's hard still to hear. And I wonder sometimes the old Cushai right there, after they gave that message and he's seen how the king reacted to that, I wonder if he kind of shed a tear because of the terrible things that brought to the king and that heartache right there. Amen. Now, lastly, I want to say this message, as we bring all that stuff, these messages here, this message, all right, it made it possible for the king to move on. I know it was a hard message, though. It hurt him badly, right? This message that was given by Cushai, see? David was pained and broken by it, right? And but he had here the opportunity. When folks get the message, the right message, and you're telling them the truth on this thing, it gives an opportunity to close. It gave David here to close a chapter of his life, right? Something he had to move on with, right? He still had, you remember, and you might have been thinking this thing, he still had one son to die. You know, he got the message from Nathan, four sheep, right? David got the news, hey, your four sheep of yours is going to die, David. They're going to go, right? That was the sentence, and this was the third one here, and it's probably, when you think about this, probably the most painful for David, to go through, it seemed like, on this thing. But it allowed then, after this thing happened here and he got that message, it allows him to be able to close that thing and to be able to move on. And I realize, folks, there's a lot of, maybe a lot of Christians in life who don't close some things, right? They don't get things right with God. They just let things keep on rolling. They don't get closure in their life. And they have that sin. You get that sin and you just keep letting that pile up and burden you and defile you. And they never get those things right by confessing it and closing that stuff, right? When you sin, you need to confess it. You need to get the thing under the blood, get the thing right, and then go on. Right? And that's the thing, you don't just let that stuff eat you up where you are. You got to go on, okay? So this thing here, I think one thing about giving a sound Bible message to folks, one thing, even though the message may be hard to folks to hear on this, is, you know, when you're talking about the consequences of sin, but you can also give them the remedy for it, right? You can tell them about the forgiveness of sins and the guilt can be taken care of, right, and the penalty and those things. And look at this thing right here. It leaves the door open for that person to be able to come and receive the truth and get some help, right, and go on. You got to have a message to give, right? You're going to give them that message, folks, and they need that truth right there. Folks, I mean, Cushai had the hard message to give there, but you know what? It gave David an opportunity to be able to close the past and have to start the new, right? You know, it was hard for him to get. Now, listen, if you have a loved one, I say, or a friend that's in hell, now, that's a terrible thing. But at least, you know what, you have the opportunity to tell others, you know, hey, this is the good news. You don't have to go to hell, right? There is, the door is open, the opportunity is there. You can be saved, right? You can miss hell on that thing right there. If you are the messenger, all right, and you got to give some of those news like that. Well, I want to say, first of all, if you get messages with hard news like that, right? Maybe you got to take that thing right there. That's meant and aimed for us to get closer to God, right? And get past some things and move on, right? And you have the opportunity then to tell others. If you're the messenger, you can be diplomatic. I know this. The gospel is negative at first, right? He died for our sins. That's negative, right? He was buried. It's negative. But he rose again the third day. There is the positive, right? You have to give that message. It has the negative in there. But you can, you know, as you give the whole thing, hey, there's good news, right? Christ rose again, right? And he offers a fresh start and that thing. And you can leave that other stuff behind. And I'd say this, as I close here, I'd say, you know what, I admire David. When you think of David and all the things he went through, because he took the message here, right? He did get the message, right? And it upset him terribly. He had a hard time on that thing. But I believe, you know, he yielded to that thing because at least he didn't have Cushai killed, right? You remember some of them kings back there, you may have read, if that prophet got preaching against the king and tell them, listen, man, judgment's coming on you, king. Sometimes those kings, man, they'd put them guys in prison or they'd have them killed or, you know, they just kind of did away with them. Here, David, I mean, folks, you know, old David, at least he didn't do that. And, I thank God for that, because sometimes, you know, you're the messenger and some folks just want to cut your head off. You know, immediately here, right? But David, he didn't do that, man. Thank God David didn't do that thing. And I'm glad, folks, for those people that just take the word of God and get the truth and stand on it and go on. So closing here, as I bring this thing here, I just want to say this. You may want to think carefully. Maybe the Lord, you know, speak to you about what kind of messenger are you on this thing when we're comparing these two right here, right? There's a whole lot of him-hases out there. All right. They're out there and they're telling, you know, just folks what they may want to hear, what is going to make them happy, you know, and all positive and stuff like that. Folks, those are a dime a dozen. All right. Those are all over the place here. But Cushai, he was the right messenger. He had the right message. God used that thing. And of course, I believe that's, you know, as we're coming down closer, you know, to time, I believe the Lord coming back. We sure want to be the right kind of messenger, right? We want to be what the Lord would have us give, the right message, the right way, and the way he said it to us. Amen. All right, folks, that's it. Let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Appreciate you being patient there, Lord. Thank you for your mercies to us tonight. Appreciate the folks coming out, Lord, and I thank you for your truth. Now, I pray, God, you'd help us to be able to get that, and maybe just look in our own hearts. Fathers, how we've been, what kind of messenger have we been? What kind of an ambassador, Lord God? And Lord, we just give the message. And Lord, I pray you would give us opportunity to do that, and pray you'd give us the grace and strength when those opportunities come up. Help us to be ready, be prepared, and have our hearts right. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.